Thank you. So welcome to Worship Team Auditions, Holding Worship Team Auditions. And you'll have the opportunity to look up on the overhead there. But I want to say right from the start, if you have a pen and you want to write this down, it'll be great, because I can give you, I can email you a lot of information that will help, that you, if you miss a note or you didn't get that, or you know, you wanted some additional support information, I can email it to you. So let me give you my email address, and this is actually my personal email address, so it's not going through a lot of people to get to me. And it's Kim, K-I-M, at worshipmusic.com. Okay? And so what you want to do, if you find this information helpful or useful to you, send me an email when you get home or whenever you think of it, and just say, you know, I'd like the notes and the support materials for Holding Worship Team Auditions class. So, here we go. The first question we want to ask is, why would we hold worship team auditions? What does that even mean, and why would we do it? And I'm assuming I have the same notes that you guys do. Yeah, no, it's just right mouse or right. The same thing here. There we go. Why we would do this is to have a focus point for people to connect with your worship ministry, and to add people to the worship team, to increase their level of musical presentation, provide consistent, common, helpful method for growing, and to give away and expand ministry. Now, each one of these, I want to say, will be of importance to you and me at different levels. For us, one of the most important things for us is the last point for my church locally, because we're always trying to get more musicians and generate more opportunities for ministry. Other places, it might be that really what you're trying to do is you're just trying to add people. You got plenty of opportunity, you don't have people, or you think you don't have people, and so you don't know how to reach into that pool of folks that are available and see if they could be involved. Another reason might be presentation. Your music is stagnant, or it's at a level, and you want it to move up a level in terms of the presentation of the music. This another opportunity for using this kind of a method. I think, though, for the people that are auditioning and for people that are interested in being involved, one of the most beneficial points about using an auditions is that it provides a consistent way that people have the opportunity to participate. And let me tell you why that is. Most of the time that I talk to people about their worship teams in their local churches, they say things like this: well, I was a good musician and this person was on the band, or they were involved in the choir, or they were the music leader, and they invited me to come because they knew that. Or the pastor knows me and he said, hey, you'd be great on the music team, why don't you go do that? Less people get an opportunity when it has to happen through a recommendation on a personal basis. Doesn't mean that that's not a good way to start that kind of process. Like, it is nice to know people that you can invite in because, oh, you know, they're a great person, they've got a great heart for worship, and, you know, we should, you know, well, instead of putting them right up on a Sunday morning, find out if their heart for worship is met with something that will help facilitate that music in your church, if you're talking about music in worship, okay? And that can be, well, auditions can help with that. The other thing is, as a worship leader, I've had a lot of opportunities to meet with people and tell them no. And it is way more difficult to tell them no when they don't know why you're saying no. Well, why are you saying no? I've been on music teams before, and nobody disliked me. I have a great voice and I like to sing, and God knows that He gave me this voice, and, well, maybe He did. But if you don't have a process that tells them exactly where they are and how that fits in with your local ministry, they're still going to be baffled and they're going to be hurt. Now, they're going to be hurt anyway. If you say no to someone, they get hurt. But if you can say no to them, just like when you say no to your child, and it makes sense, don't touch that fridge. It's cold. No, don't touch the stove. It's hot. You know, there's a reason, and they'll eventually learn it. If they persist without your instruction, they'll get hurt. And people are not even, you know, they're gonna be hurt, but they will have less personal angst towards you if they understand, you know what, that he's right. I mean, we walked through this process and it just doesn't make sense. I need to develop these skills over here to be helpful to this team. If they can see that by the time you're done, and you can see that, then it's just the communication is made that much easier. Why not to hold auditions? Okay, see, last time I did this, I was in St. Louis. You're trying to replace all your vocalists. You're trying to replace a drummer. You're trying to trade a drummer for a singer. Or maybe you want to have something to do with baseball. This was in St. Louis, and it was funny to them, but I don't know, does Maryland have a baseball team? Okay, Baltimore. There you go. So I'm obviously from somewhere else, and I don't even know these things. Or your plaster's trying to replace you. That would be a very tough thing to hold an audition for. Honestly, don't use auditions to remove people. Be honest with those who you are serving with, and treat them with respect, even if you need to increase the music in your church and it means removing them. In other words, this. If you just want to hold auditions because you want to get rid of people that are there, then I would not use this method. What you want to do is you want to start off with the way that I'm going to tell you that auditions will only work if you're completely honest with people, with yourself, with the people that are already there, and with the people that are auditioning. If you're going to use auditions as a tool to get what you want, even though you just don't want to say it right out to people, it's going to be difficult. It's going to still have difficulties and pain. So if you have musicians, you have vocalists that frankly, you know, we're going in a new direction here. We're trying to change what we're doing. Maybe you're going from one format to another. You need to be honest with them up front instead of shrouding it in an audition process to where you know you're going to tell them they're not going to make it anyway. You need to be honest with them. Honesty, honesty, honesty. When to have auditions. This one, it really, really would vacillate. I used to do them yearly. I started off every 6 months, and then I went yearly, and I haven't done one now for about a year and a half. 2 years. And I need to do one. Actually, we're going to try to do one this fall at our church. Hold them even though you might not have an immediate need for more musicians. It allows for backups and lets people know you want their participation and value their contributions in any talents. Also hold one when your needs increase. I mean, don't just wait until the next 6 months when you have need for it now. Or when God is really instructing you to do it. One of the cool things is when you're recruiting for folks and you don't need a position filled. In other words, you already have a slate of about 4 singers. Maybe you're rotating 2 each Sunday in a typical praise band format where there's 2 singers. And you don't need to fill a slot, but you're recruiting anyway. And the reason that that's great when doing an audition like that, number one, it provides you backups. If in your schedule someone's got to go on vacation or someone got sick, you've got people there. But the other thing it tells people is that you want to bring them in. And maybe they come to practices for 3 months. Or maybe they're involved in just getting to know the team and the leaders and the ministry that is there, instead of putting them up on a Sunday after they got auditioned, you know? And it just kind of gives you the opportunity to do some of those things. Some ideas about how. Again, I can email you all these notes, so I know it's like a lot of details in here. What I would say here is you have to be able to get together with your leadership, and this is probably going to, it depends on the kind of church that you have. In our church, worship and musical part of our service is one of the highest values that our church has. I mean, it's really important. So to talk about doing something like saying, here's what I'm going to do, an audition, I already have to know from the pastor, from the other ministry leaders, you know, what's acceptable. When we were starting the church, there was, you know, me on a guitar and another gal on a guitar. And musical level of acceptability in that crowd of like 30 people in a small group in someone's home was, on a scale of 1 to 10, was about a 2. You know, basically, hey, if you brought your instrument, you know, we'd probably let you just join right in, you know. And there wasn't a lot of requirements. And as that grew, that scale went up. And in my case, I was learning. That was my learning process, was as the church grew, because I was trained on baritone and drums, and so I knew music from a different, and I was learning guitar, I was learning how to sing, and I went and was taking voice lessons, I was taking guitar lessons, I was trying to figure this all out at the same time they were trying to figure it out. So I was going through a different process. But at some point, I became viewed as more of the expert, because I was doing it for long enough that I became more proficient. And so then I had decisions on whether or not I was going to say, hey, yeah, why don't you do this? Or, no, that's not working. But deciding what that level of acceptability is what you have to start with before you do auditions. If you don't know that, there's a couple of ways you can find it out. If I was going to come to this church, and I've never actually been to this church on a Sunday morning, so I don't know what the musical presentation is like, I don't know, you know, anything like that. If I was coming to this church and they asked me to participate in the music on a Sunday morning and begin to form a new worship band, for example, I would start off with finding out what's already here. I would come on a Sunday morning and listen and go, oh, okay, this is the level of musicianship that they have here, that they're putting up on a Sunday morning. And I'd go and talk to the pastor, and I'd say, what do you think about this? What do you think do you think music in worship should be, you know, highly skilled, or do you think it should be more participatory, where we have people involved that, you know, they're more of a modeling worship than they are a great instrumentalist or a great vocalist. And I'd find out what that is, what that goal is. You have to know that. Now, you can do that from listening and from talking to the pastor. You can do it from talking to the people in the ministry situations. After you get going, my goal personally in our worship team now is just that we only add people that make us better. So that is because we have a value for the proficiency of what we're doing in terms of actual musicianship. And so that doesn't mean that we won't add people, but like what you're going to find out, we have there's a sheet that you got that has like a an evaluation thing on it. And I use that for everybody that comes into the worship team. And one of the things that I use as a tool, and it's not, you know, carved in stone, but it helps me, is I look at a person and their musical ability coming into the team. Are they better than the average person on the team already, and so they're going to bring up our level of musicianship? Are they not? Or are they at the same level? And in general, I look at that and say, if they're going to make us better, then from the musical standpoint, and there's more than just music to look at, but from the musical standpoint, then I'm interested in bringing that person. Doesn't mean there's other things you don't look at, and I'm going to talk about those too, but that's one way to do it. I'm not saying you have to do that. I'm just saying, if you're in a group of 50 people and that's all you have, you set the bar where it's appropriate and talk to your leaders and say, what's appropriate? We just want people up there genuinely giving their hearts to God in worship so that the rest of us feel released to do it. Or is it, no, you know, we do want people to do that, but we also want them to be proficient enough that they don't make mistakes on Sunday morning. That becomes distracting. Oh, okay, no mistakes. Okay, well, that's a different level of musicianship. And then you nail it down, in words and in clarity between you and the leadership, so they know what your goal is. So then when you tell somebody, you know what, that doesn't work, the audition, you know, and I'm sorry, your pastor and your support staff and your ministry staff understand what your goals were, and I said, Cheryl, I'm sorry, it's not working. You've got a great heart for worship, you'd be great, go to a local community college and take some voice classes, it'll really help. And then you go, he just didn't like me, I'm going to go tell Tom, he's not letting me on the worship team. So, well, no, you see, our goals are, see, he knows those goals, and he knows, well, here's the criterion we set, and it was helpful to do that, and it supports it. Second thing that you can do after you have the baseline of acceptability set in your musicians is don't do the auditions yourself. I never do auditions by myself. I always, in our case, I take two or three people from our band. We have a worship band kind of format. And I use them as the evaluators. So that, you know, when we're auditioning Christine, it's not Kim's personal vendetta or Kim's personal, oh, I like Christine, I don't care how well she does, she's on my team, you know what I'm saying? It's four people going, oh yeah, she really worships, and yeah, and look at how she's great on, her pitch is excellent, you know, her timing is good, or, you know, she's involved in the church and she really, this is her home, you know? And so, as a group, we're bringing to bear both from me as the leader and now, and see what the team is voting this person on now, in a sense. They're saying, oh, yeah, bring them. We could really, you know, we really think that's going to be a good fit. Now, we've had situations where the person's musically good enough, they've come to the church long enough to meet the minimum criteria, but their personality, they were not going to be a team player. You could tell right from the start that in the audition that the other team members felt very uncomfortable about having this person as part of the group. And it wasn't like it was just my little thing, like, oh, you know, I don't know, it won't really work out. The whole group felt that way. And so the audition, even though there are musical criteria, I include other criteria as well, that allows us to, as a team, increase what we have, not only musically, but spiritually, and in terms of relationships, having that go on. So, like I say, current team members are great for this. And one of the things you want to look at when you bring in other people to evaluate from your current team is, for example, if you're going to do an audition and you know there's going to be singers there, make sure you have one of your current singers there to do the audition. That's just real practical stuff. How-tos continued. I always say that you use written evaluation forms. In other words, there's actual, it's not just somebody's idea, you know, it's kind of, oh yeah, yes or no, or great or bad, but you're writing things down. I'm sorry? Yeah, we'll do a little demo one here. We're gonna audition somebody. Complete the entire auditions one person at a time and make a written evaluation of each. In other words, if I was being evaluated and Jeff was the leader evaluating and you three were evaluating me, then each of you would have one of these sheets. I got up, did the audition, and you would mark, each of you would mark my results separately. You'd hand those three sheets into Jeff and he would take those sheets, and those would comprise what goes into the final result of that portion of the audition. Do not give the results or say yes or no at the auditions. In other words, if we do this right now, and, you know, obviously I do a really bad job, or maybe I do a really great job, you don't just go up to the person right away and say, that was excellent, you know, you're on, be here Sunday. Take that information and honestly be prepared to pray. Take a week, take those results, and I'll show you kind of the form. This is just the format I use. You can change the format. You can put your own calculations and do whatever you want to do with it. But here's the format I use. Is I take those things and I use those numbers. I take a week to pray and I look at the results and some of the things they wrote. And you'll see on the form there's a non-numeric response that I'm looking for. that's important. I use music, spiritual, and team unity issues to determine whether or not to add a specific person to the worship team. One thing I did not say at the beginning, and I need to back up just a bit and say this methodology is useful for recruiting and staffing a praise team, worship team type format. It's not as useful if you're talking about people in a classical sense, whether it be a pianist and a choir, although you can use elements of auditioning in any of those situations. You don't necessarily have to have the kind of components that you would with a worship team. In terms of the way that this is set up, it's meant to be more of a relational group than just a performance group. However, they perform. Obviously, they play music, they sing, they do whatever. Whereas you can't do that with a 100-member choir. You can't have everybody get to know one another and do different things. So it's a smaller group, and it's meant to bring to bear these issues: team unity, musical ability, and spiritual attentiveness. I mean, you could have theoretically people on a 150-member choir that you didn't even know if they're Christians. I mean, I'm just saying, with that number of people, you're not going to be able to get down to the place where you're going to find out all that information unless you're diligent enough to do it. If they have the musical ability to help your worship, that's the first step. Sometimes I get the strong sense of God's presence when people lead worship, and a clear desire to worship through people's mannerisms. What I'm saying there is what we've all seen. There's an opportunity for people to be on a stage when we do what we do here. And one of the reasons that in some churches choirs ended up behind the people and lost was that very reason, to take away the exaltation of people and to lift up Christ and the cross. And so the reason I say this is, well, now we're putting people in front a lot, but we still want to know. Well, we can't. Well, people are too smart. I mean, you're not going to be able to go up and say, okay, let's see through the light, Jeff, what's your reason for being on the worship team? Probably he's not going to say, you know what, I've always wanted to be a rock star, and now I got this guitar, and I can be in front of these people. You know, because even if he thought that, he's not going to say it to you, right? But what you want to do when you audition people is you want to put them in a situation where they are engaging in worship in this audition, so that you can find out part of who their personality is, part of what they're going to exude, part of what they're going to model, because they're going to model that on Sunday morning. If they're all about the microphone and their head movements, that's what you're going to see on a Sunday morning. If they're, doing whatever, I mean, you're going to be able to see some of that. Now, auditions do bring out one difficulty, and that is that people get nervous. People have a hard time with standing in front of others. But I tell folks, there's only four of us here. There's going to be 300 of us on Sunday morning. And without it trying to, I still try to make it as comfortable as I can, because there's going to be a group of people with you and you're feeling a little more safe when you're part of a team as opposed to just up there by yourself. But they do have to have some level of comfort with being in front of people, or it's going to be difficult for them to perform the task. One of the most important things for me is how well people fit into a group, and this comes back to the team unity issue. Are they abrasive or argumentative? Could be either, I guess. Do they project their own personality to be noticed? They want to play. Are they willing to just play a part? In other words, I've had people audition that I knew right away, like Jeff, can play a bass guitar, can play electric guitar, probably acoustic guitar if I need him to do that, whatever kind of thing that he needs, anything that I need along the lines of strings on a guitar, I know he can do. And I knew right from the first time I was working with him that he was like, yeah, what would you like me to do? I mean, whatever you need, Well, what's cool about that is when a person comes with that attitude, they're saying, I'm here to serve. And as a leader, you're there to serve them too. But it's much easier to model to the congregation an attitude of service when the people that are participating in the leading of it, that's their desire. So that's something really important to find out if people have multiple gifts. Not that you're there to find out who has the best number of gifts, but are they willing to serve and do what they're asked, not what they want? Hopefully they're going to like to do it, and they're going to want to do it, but that's a great kind of, you can kind of see that in people. They come out with an attitude with that. Answering some of these questions will help you determine whether the person will make it on a team environment. How to an evaluation form. Now, I've given you one, but here's the bottom line with evaluation forms. Use one. Don't verbally communicate. You want to gather your information in a written form, and I'll tell you, you'll see it example a little bit here. But it's very rare that someone can sit down and evaluate a person just on your own and just know everything about it. Like, for example, if you're a talent scout, there are certain things that you'll be looking for in a talented person, and you'll know each of those characteristics of that talent. Most of us, that's not our job. We're leading worship on a Sunday morning. For example, I know a lot about lead vocal and playing appropriate rhythm acoustics on a guitar with that. I don't know a lot about bass. I've played bass a few times on a Sunday morning. I kind of know a little bit. But I'd much rather have him there when I'm doing an audition and assume that he knows more than me. I don't know a lot about singing harmony. I'm learning more about it. I can sing a harmony part, but I'm not the person to just be the only one evaluating that person. And so assume that you're not the best evaluator in the world and that you're not going to do a great job just off the cuff. And as you do this process, what'll end up happening is you will get better. You'll begin to find out, I remember how that person auditioned, and that makes sense to me now. They're singing this way, I thought that was maybe they were nervous, but actually that's how they sing. There's a few nuances that you'll need to get over with the auditions. Like I auditioned this one gal. She was really soft. I was like, oh man, she's got not a lot of breath control. It was really soft. And I thought maybe she was nervous. But she sings that way. And so I eventually stopped using her on a worship team. I was just not real good at it when I was first starting doing it. I didn't do a good job. And she was a great person. She worshiped, but she wasn't helping the musical part of it because she wasn't even singing loud enough to be heard, and I'd like to use her more, but she has to gain some confidence enough to participate in project her voice a little bit. Another gal that I had no idea how she'd do, she came in and just totally busted out. Unbelievable. I was like, and I'm thinking, it's one of those times when you're looking, hi there. Good. One of those times when you're like, oh, you're on the team, right? You just want to say it, but I didn't want to do that because that's not the way that we did it, way that we do them. And so I held off, and the other people, oh yeah, she was really good. She was really worshipful. She wasn't just trying to perform. And then, with the support of this team that was evaluating, and us praying for a week and just waiting on the Lord, then inviting this person onto the team was much more, I think, of a wise decision instead of like a, everybody's kind of caught up in the moment kind of situation, because you have a more than one person doing the evaluation. The sample evaluation form that I provided you with is what you use in the audition. This is how I do it. But there are things that you need to do to prepare for the audition. And those are, I'll just read them to you. What I do is normally I give a sheet of 3 to 5 song names and keys in about 2 weeks ahead that are made available, so that there's either like a brochure or a pamphlet or a notice put in the bulletin or something like that, so people know, go to Kim and he'll give you the packet for auditioning if you're interested. So those folks actually get a couple of weeks, because maybe they don't know the song that you're going to ask them to sing, or maybe they don't know the format of it. They get a complete packet that is the evaluation sheet. They know what they're going to be evaluated on. They get the songs that they're going to be part of. They know the process they're going to go through. So when they come, there's no surprises. They come and they're, oh, okay, yeah, you know, that I can do that. And then I give you some good things to look at. Well, some of these won't be applicable to various situations, but the songs should range in key, stretching vocal limits, speed for tempo and rhythm variations, depending if you're auditioning instrumentalists and vocalists or what. I tend to do auditions for everyone at the same day. That way I can be there for 2-3 hours and get all the auditions done at once. You know, I sit and there's 3 vocalists, a guitar player, a drummer, whatever, and we go through them all. Style, because our songs have different styles depending on the kind of format that you have. I mean, whatever formats, whatever styles you have in your local church, you know, do a song with that style. If you do upbeat country style songs, you know, do The River Is Here. You know, if you do a lot of pensive, slow worship songs, do Breathe. If you, you know, you do choral stuff, you know, do one of those things. Do what you do on a Sunday morning in as many different variations as possible. The songs will let people respond. I also let people substitute songs that they want, and so that they'll say, I don't know any of these songs. I'll have the person go, I don't know any of these songs. I'll say, well, pick one that you know and tell me what it is about a week ahead of time so that I can be prepared. And so maybe you knew Refiner's Fire, and so you felt confident. Well, I wanted to make the person feel comfortable. I'm not all their songs are not going to get to pick, but I'll let them pick one. And then they come, they sing that song, they feel like they're not so nervous. Then they do the other songs that they know they had to do anyway, and it just helps. It gives the process a little bit of give and take. And here's something. I like to only do that, you know, one song or so. And then they have to learn the repertoire, because that's what they're going to be doing Sunday morning anyway, is what our church is, part of our repertoire. The preparation, when it gets down to the day that you're going to do the audition, check to see whether they show up on time and prepared for an audition. I mean, if someone doesn't show up on time for an audition and they're not ready to do it, it's not always the case that you would have this is how they are, but that's a big deal to me. And I tell them when I hand them the packet, you need to be there on time and you need to be prepared. I know there's lots of things that could happen, but this is going to help not only get the process done, but that's also the expectation you have for rehearsals. It's the expectation you have for Sunday morning or whatever time that you're actually going to be asked to participate. I give them the evaluation sheet so they know what they're doing, and they must answer the question. I've switched this a little bit. Sometimes I have them do this after the audition, and sometimes I have them do it before. To be honest with you, just sort of when I remember. But there's a question on the audition sheet, if you'll take a look at it. The last spot, it says, the reason for being on the team. And this is the one where probably Jeff isn't going to say, I want to be a rock star. But this is the one where you want to allow people to be honest about, why do they want to participate? Seems like, you know, God's given me this voice, I want to be there. Seems like they should have an answer. Find out what that answer is. It might be something surprising to you, it might be something, maybe the Lord's called them, maybe what they want to do is they just want to learn. Hey, you know, I feel like God said I should be involved, I don't really know very much, but I want to learn, you know, I want to be in the process. You'll find that if you ask people to make honest answers in this part of it, that you'll get to know a little bit about them if you don't know them, and it'll give them a way to express themselves that they don't get any other way. Let them take that back home, whether it's prior to the audition or after the audition, so they can write out that to you, and it can be helpful. That's the homework that I give them. auditioning. Now, let's get into the actual auditioning process. This is when you're there. I've got to watch the time because there's a lot of information to go through. We're due up to finish at 5? Is that? 5:15? Okay. I know that I'm going fast again. If you, I'm sorry, I don't know your name.
Art.
I gave everybody my email address if you want the support materials, the PDFs, and the Excel spreadsheet. Okay. So you know you can get that. And I guess they're taping this so you can get the session and listen to me in slow motion. Whatever. This is just, I'll let you read some of this on your own. This is just, if you're a vocal coach, you'll know some of these things already. But when I audition a vocalist, you know, normally I ask them to warm up before they come up, run through scales with them to find their range, ask them questions on the evaluation sheet. Now, let's just walk through this a little bit. Some of these are questions, and they're not things I'm going to be evaluating at the time. In other words, sight reading. I don't bring some score and ask them to sing their third, off of it. I just ask them, do you sight read, and how well do you sight read, and they just tell me. I mean, there has to be some honesty in the whole process, and so I fill out a number down for that. When a person, for example, in that case, when a person can sight read, sing something on the spot, and show others how to sing it, that's a 4. When a person can't do anything with music, that's a 0. And so, to me, the best mark in any of these things is when a person can both do it and show someone else how to do it. The best performance, without being able to translate to another person, is always one step down from that. That's kind of how I rate things. And then the non-musical part, I ask them, or I find out, were they here on time, prepared? Yes, no, audition on time. I ask them, in our church, they have to be there, I don't know if it's 3 months or 6 months now, but there's a reasonable amount of time to say, this is our local body, this is where I belong, this is my home church kind of thing, that we would involve someone in worship ministry. And so if you have that, you do, or maybe you don't, I don't know, that would be something you'd want to find out. Are they involved in our local body, have been here for a certain amount of time, just to make sure they're not just going from one church to another, finding a place to sing, or, that kind of thing. One of the questions, being involved, to, again, context it for your local church. For our local church, the way people become members is they get involved in a small group. So if they're in a small group, it's a fellowship group, a Bible study, something where they meet and they're in relationship with other people, that's how they become a member in our church. They have interaction and connection at that level. And if they're doing that, then that... So for you, maybe it might be a formal membership class. It might be, however that is. But you'll want to find out if they're involved. The other questions... are they learners and are they team players? These are ones that you're not going to be able to ask them on the spot, right? Are you a team player, Tom? Well, I hope you're going to say yes, but I'll kind of be able to see a little bit of it in the audition. I might not be able to answer that completely. One of the things I always thought was interesting is you find out all the answers to these questions if you have to tell somebody no. In other words, you find out I've told people no, and they came away, I felt bad. I felt worse than they did, They're like, hey, so, those were good suggestions. I was weak in my pitch, or I was having a hard time, playing in time, or whatever it is, and I'm going to go work on that. When someone tells me that, after I've said no to them, I tell them right then, well, if you go work on that, and you get that skill up, developed well enough, I'd be glad to use you on the worship team. Because when they have the attitude of wanting to serve even when they've been rejected in their own mind, and they're willing to go work on the thing that you suggested them work on, then to me they've met the criteria. They aren't there yet. And so you want to let them know, hey, there's an open door for you. That's something that I do, because I think it's important to have integrity in that whole process. Let people come back. Let people re-audition. We've re-auditioned some people. One gal I auditioned 2 or 3 times before she got on the worship team. And she was got a great attitude, so that's fine.
Okay, where was we here?
And then the practicals of auditioning the vocalist here. I normally have, aside from just the evaluators, I would have at least one musician and one singer. And what that lets me do is if I'm auditioning a vocalist, I stand up with my guitar and I'll sing a song, just a simple melody to a song, and I'll have the vocalist come and try to sing the harmony with me. Or I'll just play the song and let them sing the lead line. If that's what we're auditioning. Lastly, what I might do is, if it's a musician or even a vocalist, is I'll have another vocalist, so we actually have the three parts up there. So they can do that too. Well, they can sing in the middle. Well, I'm singing the melody and the other person's singing the fifth and they can sing in the middle. Or maybe it's a drummer, and so I got my bass player and I'm playing and someone else is singing, and so I get to hear them by themselves, I get to hear them just with me as the leader, and then I get to hear them in kind of a semi-band context. I want to hear them in those three ways because it reveals more about that person's ability to work in a group than it does about their musicianship necessarily. But one of the things you'll find out, for especially true of rhythm instruments, so if I'm auditioning a bass guitarist or a drummer, I sure want to have my bass guitarist or drummer there, because that drummer might sound great by himself, but all of a sudden he's asked to keep time with the leader, or now the drummer and the bass player have to stay together. And that's a big difference. And you don't want to discover that on a Sunday morning. It's even a lot easier to discover it in an audition. So that's one of the reasons you'll want to do that. The most important issue, and I think we're probably all pretty clear on this, vocalist is not style, it's not tone, it's not breath control, it's pitch. Pitch, pitch, pitch. You know? If they can't sing on pitch, they should not be up there. That's my feeling. Not trying to be too harsh about it, but more on vocalist auditioning. Then we move them to sing alone. Okay, so I already talked about some of this. The other things that you will want to listen to is volume. Volume is a big one. I mean, some people are just afraid to sing into a mic. Now, I will take people on a worship team with the idea that, you know what, I'm gonna have to do some training, or I'm gonna have to do some encouragement, or I'm gonna have to, you know, help this person or send them to some training or do something. But you gotta communicate that too. You know what? Actually, on a Sunday morning, you know, pitch wise you're great, but your presentation's not strong enough. Like, you're actually not singing into the mic yet. So what we'll do is, why don't you come to practice for a couple months and get that going, and then we'll, you know. So I'm not gonna use you right away on a Sunday morning. I just want you to know that. You know, I want you to be on the team, but that's... So if you can do that, if you can kind of get those kinds of things out in the open, then people, they're fine with it. Oh, yeah, nah, you know. The other thing is, yeah, some people are, whoa, I made it, you know. Oh, no, you know. And it does give them, you know, an opportunity to get in sync with your team. Plus, it gives them the ability to learn your repertoire. If they're in your local church for more than a year, they probably know your songs anyway. But that's different than singing and playing them on a Sunday morning, knowing them. So so those are some other things I listen for. It depends on the context of your church. But improvisation for our church is pretty important because, like, for example, an electric guitar solo... I may want the person to do a piece that's, you know, that's the arrangement that's on their CD, and so everybody knows that, they want to hear that. You know what I'm saying? It's a familiar hook that starts the song. Oh, we know this one. But if it's not that, and we're doing some spot where there's pastor's going to get up and call to repentance or prayer or whatever, you know, then we want this instrumental thing to happen. It's not scripted. It's not in there. Do I have a musician that can pull that off? You know, and you know, the other guys are playing chords, and he's playing just a nice, lead line, solo thing, whatever. And so you find out too, I would be looking for, you know, do you have musicians that can improvise that level of musicianship? And that's true of vocalists too, not so much depending on your church. I mean, it is a real context sensitive thing. In our church, there's rarely an occasion for like vocal improvisation, but there are some. Auditioning musicians, yeah. So this all comes down to what their function is. Obviously, for rhythm, timing is the most important thing. For any other note playing instruments, pitch. I mean, they better be hitting the right note, you know. And then, secondly, they better be hitting the right note at the right time. And you kind of, this isn't stuff, I mean, if you're involved in music, it's not stuff that's a surprise to you. But it's interesting, because what you want to do is you want to write down on this form exactly what the issue is. In other words, you see that the bass player is always leaning back in the rhythm. In other words, they're playing just a touch slower than the downbeat. Well, in some situations, it's actually good, but if they are off enough that you know that, they're hitting the right notes, but they're just off just a touch, then you're able to say on here, you know, this is the situation, this is the situation. And then you can communicate to that person, you know, it just didn't seem like you were in the pocket if you're talking about a rhythm instrument. And why is that? Well, that's actually the way I learned to play. Oh, okay, well, you know, here's what we're looking for. Otherwise, it's just, you didn't work out. It wasn't good enough. You know, the score was low, and I don't know why. You make sure you're marking the things that are important that the person's doing or not doing. Again, try all styles of songs. That'll bring that out. I can do a 6-8 song, you know, like almost a shuffle blues feel kind of thing, and find out how people's rhythm is, if they're a rhythm instrument, because not a lot of times we play that kind of beat in church. But we have like a few songs that are pour out my heart, that's 6-8, almost kind of like a blues feel song, and that's different. I mean, if all they're used to playing is 4-4 and they're a drummer, oh yeah, that's okay. Well, here's something that you got to work on. You just want to do that. You want to try. I would try like different. I'd try 4-4. I'd try 6-8, and for a drummer, I'd try 3-4 as well, because there are some waltz type songs that we would do. I mean, in a praise band kind of configuration. But you just want to try those. You want to kind of make sure people have to go around each of the corners that you would have to implement on a Sunday morning. Okay, leave room for solos. Okay, and then lead a song. Okay, the same sort of thing that you did with the vocalist, you'll want to do with the instrumentalist. Allowing them to play by themselves, if it's appropriate, you know, like a piano. See if they can play in a soft time when you just want the piano to go. Or if they can play with another instrument, or they run all the way, they're beating on the low things and the bass has nowhere to play because the keyboard's just crushing them. You need to find out those things. So I'll let you read the rest of that kind of stuff. Wrapping up. I sit down with the team of the evaluators and finish the sheets up, and I have them give them to me, and then I take the stuff home. Again, make sure you know the answers to the non-musical questions. This, all along I'm looking for these clues. This is what I was talking about. Clues about their attitude and their desire to be on the team. And where does that come from? Part of the reason that I do the audition is to take out of the mix these unknown expectations. Well, you know, I've been at this church for 5 years now, and I think it's about time I get to be up front, don't you think? You know, kind of thing. I mean, there's some, but you just need to know that those things are going on, and you won't find that out if you're picking people by friendships or other situations. You want to be able to still, you want to be friends with people and invite them, and not, you never made the audition, so I'm not going to be your friend. You are who you are in your local church, but this can help you work through some of those issues. Again, to kind of find out what happened the last few times they were on a music team, you know? Well, it's always the leader's fault, and somehow you know, every situation I was great and everyone else was bad. There's probably a good, it's probably a question in there to whether that person would work out on your worship team, or you would just be number nine, you know. This is an interesting thing. How did they come to an audition? In other words, one of the things really helps me is when someone tells me, "Hey, there's this person," and during worship they were standing next to me, and I mean they were singing and it was unbelievable. It was awesome, you know. And they've never come to me and asked me to be on the worship team. They've never asked about musical opportunities. They're just out there worshiping. I'll go to those folks and give them like the bulletin and say, "Hey, there's an audition coming in, you know, a couple months or whatever. If you're interested in it, I just want to let you have the information." When someone comes to an audition because of a recommendation from someone else who's not got a vested interest in it, those people are gems. Because you find out in your local congregation probably all the musicianship you need. Some people they're not wired like, you know, like everyone else. They're okay with just standing in the congregation, enjoying who God is, blessing them with their gifts, and not being in front of folks. But those are folks that you want up on your stage, because what they're saying with their body, with their lives, and with their music, is that really doesn't matter. It doesn't matter if I'm up on a stage. I'm just going to worship the Lord, and that's the kind of attitude you want to propagate in your congregation. So it's all those things wrapped up together. Evaluating the scores. The reason we use evaluation forms is to derive an overview of the person's levels in the musical and non-musical area we discussed. With those forms, color the results into a uniform result. And I'm going to show you a spreadsheet that I use to do this. Generalize the results so that an overall score per person in the audition have a consistent way to view those results. The way that I view these results is this, that the score is one indicator. And what it tells me is based on this sheet here. And that's all I've got to go to, other than if I have some personal contact with this person. But the way that I use it in the spreadsheet is that it floats to me that person's score relative to the other people that auditioned, and then that final score I compare to my team currently. So my team right now, I think the way I add these scores up, I'm not sure the total is like 82 or it's 90, I'm not sure. But they have to have a better score than my current team's average to get on the team. That's the way that I make sure that people are helping our team get better, right? Now, that's not always possible. Like, sometimes what happens is we're adding someone to the team because we're losing someone else, right? Maybe our best musician is leaving or something. And so it's not all about the numbers, but that just helps you, because it's a consensus among your worship team and evaluators that is telling you, "Hey, yeah, this is the level that this person is at," and it can help you with that. I don't know if we can put up. Yeah, let me just show you. No, just go back and just see if we can. Audition, worship band auditions. Okay. That one's already done. Okay, and so, so what we have here, I just don't want to touch the cord under. What we have here is the results, and if you want to scroll just across there, Jeff, just a bit, is the results of each of these people and the evaluator and the score. Okay, so I just filled out the spreadsheet. Scroll back this way again, sorry. Yeah, it's a little bit difficult there. Here's me. I evaluated. Evaluator. I evaluated. Is this the right one?
Maybe not.
Yeah, I'm evaluating four people.
Is there another? Yeah, go over one more. You got to go one more time. Nope, this direction. Click that maybe down one more time. No, you're going this way. You didn't go all the way to the left. One more time. All right. Can you click? Click. There we go. Okay. Here's the person being evaluated. And this is the instrument we're evaluating them on. And here's the evaluator. So I went and filled in all my scores up here. And then Lori went and filled in all her scores here for each of the people she evaluated. Notice they're all the same people, right? We each evaluated. Three people doing the evaluations, four people being auditioned. And like I say, I mean, you don't have to use this format. This is just how I do it. And then these scores get filled in. And so if I had a sheet in my hand for this for that person that I did, this is from top down, left to right, okay? And then you fill those all out. If you switch to the summary, just click on this tab right here. Thank you, sir. The summary is, it takes, the reason I can email you the Excel, then you don't have to rewrite the formulas and stuff, but it'll finalize the scores if you format it in the same way I have. It'll tell you in the group, okay, this is the evaluation group, this isn't your worship team, but what I've done in the real one, you'll notice these are not real people, in the real one I have all of our worship team included in there, so the group score is the actual worship team score here. And then I look and I see, well, the only person musically that's better than the average of a current team is Jane Doe. And I look across. Okay, yeah, Susie Q, there you go. And I look across, if you could just scroll now what you're going to see is you're going to see for each person where they were strong and where they were weak. Like her, all of us agreed that she had a hard time, close that, there we go. Right, that she had a hard time with rhythm, you know, and that she was mediocre in flexibility. Her dynamics were all right. Her pitch wasn't that good. And as you go across, you know, she's great at improvising, but you're going to find out that the person that's a really great improviser in this case doesn't know how to really hit the pitch that well. So maybe that improvisation isn't all that helpful to you. Yeah. So you got, you know, the various things that are listed on the sheet. And that's, you know, part of how I use it. Now, these questions, those are Boolean fields checks and such. And so whether or not, you know, those results end up. I don't actually type in how they answered that question about why they want to be on the worship team. I just think everybody wants to be a rock star. So that is the scoring sheet, the communication. Let's wrap this up. You can alt tab to the if you hold it down, hold the alt key down, and then tab, and then you can see the. There you go. Keep going. Then just do it again. Next one. Yeah. Oh, I was wrong. Okay, whatever. Anyway, go back and find the other one that's the PowerPoint. So, communicate results. This is probably, I think, one of the most important points about auditions, and that is communication. That you want to communicate the results to people in person, not on the phone, not through email or postal mail. I mean, it's bad enough that we all get bad news, you know, when we pick up the paper or when we get our report cards, and, you know, trying to be participating in church and just be a part of something and getting a letter that says that I didn't make it on the worship team that's just harsh. Just talk to the people. They came to you. They did this audition. Go back to them and communicate the results to them in that way. Encourage people with real honesty.
they know if you're telling the truth. If you're just going to create some other reality, then there's no reason to do auditions. But if you want to tell them the truth about where they're at, tell them the truth. I had a lady audition that didn't work. I had a guy audition that just could not keep rhythm. I mean, he thought he was a good drummer, but he wasn't. He just didn't have the ability yet. And I just told him, you know, it just is not going to work. We can't. You're the timekeeper of the whole band. We can't hang on that when it's not working. And, you know, I like you as a person. You're a great worshiper. I can see your heart's in it. I can see that you've taken lessons and you're trying to go towards it. I mean, you know, be honest, be encouraging. Find ways for them to participate. So the person can't sing perfect pitch, but they can also play guitar. Say, listen, you know, it might not work out on a Sunday morning for you to be involved right now, because your pitch, honestly, it isn't consistent enough for it to be helpful. But, you know, we really have some needs in some of our Bible studies or some of our small groups for people that can lead worship. And you have a great heart. You can play guitar. And it, without having a band, you know, around you, that needs to coordinate everybody being in the same place, you might do really well leading a small group, you know, doing worship in this situation, in women's breakfasts or men's meetings or, you know, small group of some sort. Well, what's great about that, when you encourage people to participate, is when you're saying to them, hey, I do think you have a worshiper's heart, and I do think you have some gifts, and I'd like you to be involved, and you're telling them, hey, yeah, we want you to be involved. It's not in the same capacity that you want. It's part of the reason is I don't do auditions for just Sunday morning. I do auditions for Sunday morning for, we have like a prison ministry band that gets put together. And we'll use, like I use, we use some people for that we don't use on a Sunday morning. That they're fine for doing 3 or 4 songs, and that they can handle that repertoire, you know, and they can do it in a prison where they've got a captive audience, and it's cool. And so, or they're good in a small group. So you just want to give them an ability to participate at any level that they can participate at, and tell people how to help themselves. You know, taking lessons is like one example, but the other thing that you can do is create a mentoring program in your church. And it doesn't have to be a formal program. You know, drummer that's playing on the worship team on Sunday mornings, can you hang out with the guy that's wanting to play on Sunday mornings? You know, get them connected up, or singers or whatever. If you have that kind of people that are able to communicate and transfer that kind of ability just through some sort of mentoring. The last little point here was something that you want to think about, especially if you're a leader, and that's that: could you make it in your own church if you're starting over? So I grew up with my church, right? So I was like, if I started now and wanted to be on the worship team, and I was at the place that I was at 15 years ago, I wouldn't make it on the worship team that I'm on right now. Now, what you want to do, though, is you want to provide ways for those people that are starting off. Maybe it's not Sunday morning, but you want to find avenues for them to grow in their gifting. And maybe that is, hey, you know what? We can't, this isn't, maybe you're going to fund them going to some lessons. Or are you going to split the cost with them? Or maybe you're going to find them a mentor. Or maybe you're going to do something. But be part of the process of helping them get to that point. Maybe they're a local church, a small group worship leader for a while, and then you start using them on Sunday mornings. Or you know, there's a lot of different configurations. Go to the next one, please. Okay, that's it. Get rid of that picture. Other than my wife, there's no cute people on that page. So, again, if you send me an email address, send me an email, I will send you the notes, as well as your own, you know, your copies of this stuff and the Excel spreadsheet that you can use if you want. And some other documents. They're just humorous, but we're out of time, so I mean we're not out of time. You can ask them questions now. I just don't want to take any more time to jabber. Go ahead.
Can you talk a little bit about, I agree with you completely on this process, but getting to the process in the beginning, you said your group used to have low musical expectations.
Right.
Did you all get better, or did you at some point have auditions and, you know, what if we've already got a praise team in place but has some musical deficiencies? And also, do you get support from the rest of your church? Do they evaluate readers and other kinds of worship leaders? We have bad leaders as well, but people say, wow, we need to let them have a chance. This is what they volunteered for.
Yeah.
You know, so I'm just wondering if you could just talk a little
part
bit
of the that. Part of the change of, I think, the this is my mentality, I guess, I think the thought process is that we don't have people volunteer for things. We recruit people for things. Mm-hmm. And it sounds like a word change, but really what it means is I'm looking for you. Recruitment always has in it a responsibility, whereas volunteerism has, I don't know what it has. Sometimes it doesn't have very much with it. And it's difficult to run an audition process in a volunteerism atmosphere. So you really want to, that's really what you want to tackle first, is you want to say to the pastors or to the leaders of the ministries, what's your goal? You know, go back to the goal thing and then say, well, to get there, I mean, we could have people volunteering all year long, but if I'm not part of the, you know, symphony, I'm not going to get any good string players. You know what I'm saying? There are ways that you can get it done, but it's not very likely if you don't change the mentality of volunteerism. That's difficult to do. Some churches, that's how they've always been. That's how they always want to be. But you just have to, you have to say, this is where we're going in that direction. And sometimes that means you have to wait for the right leader to come along, because it has everything to do with you being in connection with your leadership. I mean, don't just kind of go off and do these auditions when they don't want you to be doing it, because that'll just ruin it for you. Go ahead.
One thing that, if I can say to address that, I'm taking over, I just accepted a position as a worship leader for a church. And what I've decided to do in terms of auditions is for current existing members, if we have these regular intervals, current existing members are in for this first interval without auditions. New people have to be auditioned. New people who are interested are auditioned. Let them know up front, say, hey, you're in it now. Just to know in the future, you're going to continue to have auditions for existing members as well. So in that sense, they're prepared, and you can warn them up front, you know, this is going to be a process that we're going to do from here, and it's going to have an expectation that you're going to strive to improve your gift as the team gets better and whatnot. But it doesn't put that pressure up front, oh my gosh, I've been involved, now I may not be. They get to know, like, if you have them once a year, at least for the next year, they're in and they're out.
One of the things, there's probably a couple different ways you can go with that. You can do a situation where you re-audition people, in Jeff's case. In our case, I told people, you know, we're going to be doing auditions. So when we added auditions, actually, we started off just, yo, who plays anything? And we, you know, went from there. And when we added auditions, I had at some point to say to people, you know, we're actually going in a different direction right now and just trying to focus on some of this stuff. So I'm going to ask you to step down right now from the worship team and you know, for your participation. I really appreciate it. You're a great person. You know, all the kinds of things you need to do to tell that person the right information without hurting their, you know, hurting who they are. And just saying, here's the situation. Being able to do that, then it was then my approach was slightly different than Jeff's, in that what I said was, once a person got on the team, I didn't take them off. So I'm making a commitment to that person. We had people on the team that were there that we had, the team had gone like way beyond them in terms of just their ability to connect with that musical level, but I wasn't taking them off the team because I made a commitment to that person that they were being part of this thing. And then what happened was, what they would do is they would learn from these other folks that were a lot better than them, and they would be brought up in that situation. And the only time that becomes a difficulty is when you end up having, you know, we had people that weren't, you know, couldn't make the transition, and I just asked them to step down. It's more difficult than having them go through an audition process. But I think for me, in the personality I have, I would much rather have kind of done that up front than I got to repeat this process with this person every year, you know. And I don't know how I don't know. I mean, I've never auditioned. I mean, I've auditioned people multiple times until they got to the point where their gifting was good enough to get them on there, but never where their gifting was bad enough to kick them off. So I don't know how that would feel, you know. So, but I think there's a couple different. Yeah, that's one way you can do it. I would encourage you to think about, the one thing I encourage you to think about in that process is, are you wanting to motivate people? You know, is that we don't want to motivate people with fear. In other words, you know, like you said, they're getting afraid because, oh no. So is that yearly process going to create fear in their lives, and to the point where this worship team is no longer a team? You know, just think about those things and find out what works in your local church. You'll find something that will work well, and just, you know, try to make it. The bottom line is honesty. You have to be honest to tell people yes. You have to be honest to tell them no. You have to be honest with your leadership to tell them, this is what we're doing. Can we do it? Is it okay? Are we part of this? Are we together? Everything has to do with honesty. If you walk away and throw these notes away and you just began to be honest in that situation, I think you'd find that, like, it doesn't get easy up front, but down the road it bears a lot more fruit, you know. So, yeah.
About how to utilize backup
in terms of, like, you have multiple positions, or like two positions with lots of people in that position, singers or drummers, or
somebody maybe who's potential, or somebody who would be good for the team.
Mm-hmm.
If the team is just full at that point, but not my experience. I guess I have to.
All right. What we've done, different things. At one point we had multiple teams and we scheduled multiple teams. So team X and teams Y. You know, that's one method. Then the great thing about that is people play with the same group of people and they begin to musically get a little better in terms of a unit musically. And they also get a break. The other thing that you want to do is, you do not want the same, kind of yes and no, but you don't want someone up there every Sunday, because there's an issue that you're trying to get away with auditions, and that is ownership. We are participating in this. We don't own it. I'm not the harmony singer. I'm not the drummer. I'm a drummer, a part of a team. And I have the opportunity to play this Sunday, but that's not my position. And it's because when you get that happening in your team, your team is deteriorating, because that's going to force other people out. So you want one of the reasons scheduling is good is it gives you the ability to put in multiple different groups, use up as many people as you have, whether it's two teams or three teams, and it keeps people fresh, excited about doing it, and gives the issue of ownership a rest, because everybody is participating as a team, as a group. The other thing that you can do is create a pool of musicians, which is what we do now. And that is, well, I guess we kind of do a hybrid now. But for a while, we had a pool, which was just basically, you know, we picked out who was going to play, you know, based on, you know, a schedule of some sort. And there were different people each week, you know, it could be whatever. But that, when you're getting to that point, you need to have musicians that are good enough to complement it. Because if you have a musician that can't hang with someone because they've never played with them, then that's a difficulty. But like right now, we're at the point where pretty much I can put together any team, and the musicians are good enough, they can play. It doesn't matter who they're playing with. So,
how do you do the practicing when you have multiple teams or a pool?
One practice. We still.
What
we do is we have one practice. If there are new songs being played, everybody can come and practice. But normally what we do is just whoever's playing that week is the ones that practice. That way, you know. But the other thing that we do for supplementing that is that there would be a... I guess we don't do this anymore. We used to have a where everybody comes on a regular basis and then we learn new songs. Some of that is preparation and making sure people have materials. So, time is up. So, yeah, feel free to go. So, if you have any questions, I'll stay here and answer if you guys have any need to. But oh, sure. Yeah. For example, I could tell you, you know, some of them, like I did, I would do an audition with like a song like Refiner's Fire. Real simple. A lot of people know it. I do a song with like Lord Rain and Me. There's some contemporary choruses that pretty much everybody knows. I might do, what's that song? If you know some of the, you know, 6-8 songs like Good to Me or Pour Out My Heart, you know, something like that. And then depending on who I'm auditioning, you know, I might, you know, mix some songs in there, some more recent songs, Here I Am to Worship or something, pretty much that people are going to be comfortable with doing. And I might throw in, you know, one unique one so that they have to learn it. And you can get a feel for it. I don't know what that is. But yeah, I can send you some samples if you'd like. So, give me an email.
Thank you.
Thanks.